Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast. I do hope you are well. Happy Christmas. Thanks as always to my lovely sponsor, Golding Accountancy. We are golding.com for all your accountancy needs. How are you? I hope you're good and you're not afflicted by any of the awful things that are going around at the moment. Everyone seems to be coming down with whatever. I am good. I'm good. I'm excited. I'm doing a series of podcasts with women who've got endometriosis about their different experiences of it and the care that they have received. And it is very interesting. So they'll be coming out soon. But it's really nice to talk to people who are going through what you've been through. And that is one of the reasons why I started this podcast, because when you know that you're not the only one, it's very reassuring. And people have so many great tips and advice to give when they've been through what you've been through. And you learn so much from talking to people. So yeah, I hope you enjoy it. And I hope you enjoy this podcast. I'm not very with it today. I'm a bit knackered, so I'm going to be rambly. So I'm sorry, but I hope you're good. This week on the podcast, I've got one of the people that I wanted to get on ever since I started doing the podcast. She is my good friend's mother. And the reason why I wanted to get her on is because her social life has always been better than mine. She just goes out and does everything and lives life to the fullest. And she's such an inspiration to me. So I wanted her to get on to talk about why her life's so exciting. And she also does a lot of good in the world. She's been a Samaritan for years. So we talk a bit about that and about her life working in the library as well. So it's very interesting. I hope you enjoy it. It's the lovely Jenny Meads. And I'll see you in a bit.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Work. Work.
Oh, I'm excited! It's really nice to see see you. I'm trying to think. When was the last time I saw you in real life?
It was ages ago. Was it at the film thing? Was there a film? No, maybe not.
When we went to see... Oh, did you come to that? When we went to see Pip's film at the cinema in London with B?
Yeah, that's right. I think that was then.
Well, that couldn't have been last year, could
no,
it?
No, it must
no,
have been before.
The year before.
Yeah. Before all this.
Yeah. I should introduce you. Today, I'm joined by the very lovely Jenny Meads, a.k.a. Scrooby as Pip's mum. You should get that on a T-shirt.
I should
get that on a T-shirt.
No, I haven't. I really ought to get one.
You should do. And I've, ever since I started this podcast, I wanted to get you on because you are my inspiration.
Oh, as really?
For being a single mum. Yeah. In many ways. But I can't believe it's taken so long to actually make it happen. Because it's always been like, well, yeah, I've got to get Pip's mum on. But you have done quite a few podcasts.
I've done the odd
haven't you?
Bit here and there.
Famous in your own right. How are you?
I'm fine. Yes. Busy as always.
So one of the reasons why you're so inspiring to me is because your social life, I think, is probably busier than mine ever has been. Ever. And I did used to go out quite a lot. You're always here, there and everywhere doing all these amazing things with your group. Is it called Spice?
Spice UK, yeah.
Yes. Which is, well, tell us about Spice.
Well, Spice is a social group. It runs right across the country. So at Spice UK, I belong to the London group, although I can go to events in Scotland or Yorkshire or wherever. During lockdown, it has been an absolute lifesaver because they have put on so many events via Zoom. You know, we've had fancy dress via Zoom. We've had a day at the races where we've watched races and put bets on and things. We have poker sessions, not with real money, but I've got a poker night on Saturday. So,
brilliant.
And it's just a social group. Lots of people go, oh, dating thing. And they go, no, it's not dating. It's just you've got couples there, you've got single people. And we do all sorts. We go out for meals. We go on. I've got a holiday booked in January, fingers crossed, to Lapland with them.
Oh, wow.
When I retired,
oh, wow.
I
Can
went.
You take my kids? Please.
No, I'm going to be the kid. when I retired, I went on probably my first holiday with them, which was to Cuba. So I went to Cuba with 30 people I'd never met before.
Oh, was that your first one?
Well, the first one with proper holiday. I'd had weekends and breaks with them, but I hadn't done an abroad break with them. And as I say, I went to Cuba with 30 people, never met before.
Sorry, Jenny.
That's all right.
I've got Juno opposite. It's Pip's mum. Come and say hello. But then you've got to go out and leave me alone for an hour, please. She's got a cold.
Oh, bless.
Quickly come say hello, because I'm recording and the microphone's there, so you can't be jumping on the bed. Because I remember when you were going to Cuba, because I think you went just before I went for my 40th. Or did you go because you came round for dinner, didn't you?
Yes.
You came to us for dinner. But was that...
I can't remember whether it was before or... No, was it... I'd been.
You'd been
and
already.
I brought all these sort of information I'd been given.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. I say, went with all these people I'd never met, and I've made great friends.
That's so lovely. How long had you been a member of the group for before you went to Cuba?
Quite a few years, because I'd done, I think the first event I did with them was badger watching. Because I thought, why would I ever think of doing that? And it was on their list, so...
Where did you go to do that?
Well, you've got these instructions.
That
going
is a toad, is it, for something?
Oh, but yeah. It was really secret squirrel, because it was go into the lay-by on the A whatever and you'll
be met.
You're
lucky you didn't walk into something.
But the next one was just the same. I did walking with wolves with them.
Wow. And oh, so, Gina, I'd love that. She loves a wolf. Oh, I bet that was amazing.
It was. Did and again...
Half of them on a lead?
Yes. Yes, we walked with them in a field. And I had my hand down, and this wolf is sort of sniffing my hand. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
This is a wolf. And it was just amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. At that time, they also did wing walking and things like that. Obviously, at the moment, they're not doing that sort of thing, but I never quite fancied that.
On a plane?
Yeah, you could do that. But
oh, no.
You also had meals out or go to the theatre or all sorts of things. So,
how did you find them?
I think I was looking for holidays to go by myself, and it just popped up online, and I thought, oh, that sounds good, because you know what it's like when you're by yourself. It's fine most of the time, but at weekends, all your friends who are married are doing family stuff, and they don't really you feel bad saying, do you fancy going for a meal, or do you fancy going for a, you know? And so I sort of thought, right, I'm going to join that. So I've had some amazing things with them. And recently we did, they had their Ruby anniversary ball.
Oh, wow.
In Manchester, which was probably the second thing I did out at sort of big event.
Yes.
Since lockdown. So, and they were really good. You all had to prove you'd had your jabs and that you had a negative lateral flow beforehand and things like that. So, And the ball, it started, well, we had pre-drinks, went into dinner at 7:30. That went on till 2 o'clock. And then they had after party with Bacon Butties, silent disco, and a bucking bottle.
What time did you get to bed, Jenny?
I was quite good. I went to bed sort of 2:30-ish. Oh, no, I think it went on till 1, and then when the after party started at 1.
Yeah.
And I went to bed about 2:30. But some people were up till 4.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's lovely.
But, yeah, it's really good fun.
So you can go to events anywhere in the country. How do you access? Is it all online?
It's online. Just put in Spice UK and it'll come up. And as I say, there are organisers in different parts of the country, and they'll organise things for their area. But when I was working, if I ever went to, if I had a conference somewhere, I would always look at the Spice in that area and see if they had anything on that I could just pop along to. So, that was really, it's really good. Scottish ones, I quite often have done Scottish bits and pieces when I've been up to see my cousin. But, I'm now, since lockdown, I'm going to work my way around the country and do something in all the different.
Brilliant.
Because
well,
I've met.
Not?
Oh, I've dropped my earphone. I've online, you've met all the people in different parts of the country, and they're like old friends. So I went to the Edinburgh Fringe, and it was like lovely to meet up with all these people I'd seen online. So.
Yeah.
So it's been good fun.
And what is the... Is it more women than men, or is it a complete mix of people?
It's a good mix. Probably more women than men.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I think women will go out and do things more easily. Yeah.
And what's the kind of age range?
Well, they have got... They used to have an under-40s separate coordinator. Now yeah. they're linked in with... they haven't really got an age thing. As they're tending to be, I guess, sort of probably 40s upwards. But there's younger people... I can't remember the name of the group they've just joined with that they help organise in London. Thinking Bob. And they okay. tend to be slightly younger people. But,
yeah.
you know, it's changed over lockdown. You've had loads of people have sort of come onto the online things that
yeah.
perhaps have just tripped over it. So let's say it's quite a good mix of ages.
It's such a good idea.
And it is.
I can imagine how great it was during lockdown as well, because yes. it did. I did think of you, like one of the first things I said to Pip Bowsy Mum, and he was like, "She's going out more now indoors than she was normally." Yes, so I was like, "Oh, that's great."
We had dancing some evenings till 2 o'clock in the morning. Sort of just somebody would play music, and we'd be bopping around. So yeah, it was good fun.
Oh, it's so lovely.
And until I got told by my other son, please keep the noise down. I hadn't realised how the sound travels.
Brilliant. So I also wanted to talk to you about the work that you do, because you do really important work with the Samaritans, don't you? How long have you been doing that for?
Well, I reckon I've probably been a Samaritan about 15 years-ish. I said to someone a while back, they said, "How long have you been a Samaritan?" I went, "Oh, 5 or 6 years." And they went, "Well, I've been here 12 years and you were here when I came." And I went, "All right, okay." You know what we're like? We don't really think about time as such. You know, I never yeah. know how old anybody is. And even Ian yeah. and David, it's people go, "How old are your sons?" And my friends answer for me. I'm like,
That old, yeah. yeah. And how did you get into it?
I had always sort of been aware of them, probably with the very old posters you used to see of a black telephone, and that's what yes. I thought about yeah. when I thought of Samaritans. And then somebody I worked with, volunteers, and she was doing... she was having a Samaritan fundraising stall at an air show. And she was saying to me how difficult it was to get people to come along and to shake a tin. People don't like doing that. And I went, "Well, I don't mind doing that. I'll come along." It used to be one of my favourite things I did with my mum and dad when they used to do charity things. I love to get a collection thing and you see people trying to avoid you and you sort of...
Yeah.
Don't exactly chose them, but anyway, I said to her, I digress, I said to her, "I'll come down and help." So I came down, I went down and I held a tin, and so many people put money in and said, "If it wasn't for you lot, I wouldn't be here." And that wow. just tipped me out. I thought, that's it. I went back that evening and put my application in, because I've been very lucky. I've always had people to talk to. And at yeah. the same time-ish was when David lost his friend. And he yes. was so, yeah. You know, we talked about how awful it was that he didn't know, you know, that the lad hadn't been able to talk to his friends. And yeah. I just thought that's so, so sad.
Was it on his 21st
yeah,
birthday? Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so I sort of thought, do you know what? So those different things sort of made me apply. I did have yeah. to wait about a year before I got an interview.
Oh, wow.
And then, which at the moment, some branches are even longer. We've had a lot of people apply.
Oh, that's good.
It is. But I don't think people quite understand that you have to be able to offer a 24/7 service, it means you can't just say, well, I'm only going to do Wednesday afternoons, because,
yeah,
you know, it the branch actually needs you all sorts of times. So yeah. I am quite careful when I interview people. I do explain to them about the fact that we do a twilight, what we call a twilight shift, which for our branch yeah. is 11 p.m. till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And then we do a night shift, which is 2 a.m. till 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And as long as we have everybody in the branch doing some, we are fine. But yeah. if we get a lot of people that sign up and then go, well, I can't do nights.
Yeah.
And you go, well, you do need to do a night every couple of months. Don't expect it every month, but... My feeling is that if everybody did a night, we'd probably only end up doing two a year. But,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
people have lives, and there are reasons why some people can't. We've got a lot of yeah. Older volunteers who can't drive at night as easily now as they used
to. So have to do it in... Can you not do it from home? Do you have to
no,
do
no,
it
it's all
centre?
Done in the branch. It's all done in the okay. branch. Which, and lots of people say, why can't I do it from home? But... imagine you sitting doing a call in your bedroom on your bed, and you have a suicidal call or a call that it really upsets you, because it doesn't.
Yeah.
You get upsetting calls even if they're not particularly suicidal.
Yeah.
Every time you go and sit there, you're going to remember that, aren't you? If you're upset
yes.
by a call.
Yeah.
I do believe that you've got to have somewhere that you can just shut the door. And some yeah. people are lucky enough to have an office and things, but we're very, very much on support. So we only run a shift, and this is right through the organisation, if we have two people. And you support your colleague when you're on shift. So you might be on a phone and they're on a phone, and you can hear that something upsetting is going along. As soon as your call finishes, you go and help them out, even if it's just yeah. making them a cup of coffee. You know, but you're there to give them that support. And yeah. I think that is so valuable. And we talk to a leader who leads from home at the start of the shift and the end of the shift. So you have a chance to discuss anything that concerned you. And we all have calls yeah. sometimes where we think, oh, my goodness, I must have said the wrong thing because they went off upset, or they went off and said, well, I'm not talking to you, you know. And sometimes you think, oh, God, I could have said that better or whatever. And it's really good to be able to discuss that with a leader. And then you can leave it behind.
Yes,
one of the
yeah, yeah.
best tips I got when I started volunteering was always have some good music in the car for your journey home.
Yeah.
Just put everything behind oh. you.
Oh, it's one of my friends did it for a little while. And the most shocking thing when she started was when she told me that you don't, if you get a suicidal call, you're literally just there to listen to them. You can't intervene in any way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think she told me a story of, she was on the call with a suicidal person and she knew that there was a child in the house and she never found out the outcome of what happened. And
yeah,
I wish that I could do that, but I don't think I could handle that. I don't think I'd be able to. I don't know how much it would affect
me. I think
me.
That's one of the one of the good things is that you don't know, because otherwise you would be
yes yeah,
questioning
yeah.
yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think we have quite strict safeguarding rules in place these days. So, and we do... lots of people come along and think that Samaritans is about stopping people and, you know, saying you can't do this and what have you. And it is, but not in that way. We talk, we yeah. hope that by talking to people, we give, and listening to them rather than talking to them, just listening to them, we give them enough space to come up with the resolutions they need. And so we do sort of try and we would hope that we could talk to somebody and that they would change their mind. We don't encourage suicide.
Do you get in training?
Oh, yes, the training is very, very... And it's constantly being updated. We had, obviously, at the start of lockdown, we had to change the way we operated quite drastically because we put everything onto Zoom. So whereas before you'd meet... When I did my training, I think sort of 10 or 12 of us would meet every week in the centre and we would have our training for about 10 weeks. I think at the moment there's 6 modules and it can last between 5 and 8 weeks at the moment. But then what, and that's your sort of the training to handle the different situations, to talk through how you might handle them, to talk through how you might feel as well as how the caller might be feeling, because that's the key thing is feelings. We do always ask people to tell us about their feelings. How do you feel about that? You know, why do you think you feel like that? But once you have the training, you then have usually have a more experienced volunteer to sit with you when you come into the call room, the duty rooms, and you will sit and listen to a call. And then you will, when you are feel ready, you take calls. So you'll listen to how they manage a call. And then, let's say, then you will start taking calls. But when somebody calls us, we have no idea who they are. We can't see their phone number. Yeah. Same when they if they email us, we can't see their email. We don't. It's all cloaked. It's totally anonymous. So unless they tell us where they are, you know, what their name is, we can't actually get help to them. And that is you know, quite sad sometimes that you where people are determined they don't want any help, and you do try to get some information, and but we don't report things when we get there are times when we will, when if we have certain amounts of information from a safeguarding point of view, you know, the organisation has to be safe. But generally speaking, we have no idea who people are unless they tell us. Well, always we don't know who they are unless they tell us.
Did you notice the calls go up dramatically since the start of COVID?
The calls were constant before that. When you're on duty, you put the phone down, it rings immediately. One of the things we are desperately trying to get more volunteers trained up for is because particularly in the middle of the night, so between probably between 10 and 5, the call waiting times can be quite long. And that's the thing we really need to get rid of, those call waiting times. But we need people to do shifts in that time of night. And it's so frustrating because you interview and you say, you will have to do these. And people go, yes, yes, yes. And then when it comes to it, they go, oh, no, I couldn't do that. Can't do the middle of the night, you know. We're very lucky in our branch. We've got bedroom. So our volunteers, if they're coming in for the 2 till 6 shift, they can, we've got a couple of bedrooms, they can actually come in beforehand and grab a couple of hours sleep. Or if they're coming off the 11 till 2, they could grab a couple of hours sleep while before going home and waking the family up. You know, if you've got young children, coming in and out at 2 or early hours can be disturbing. So some people like to... stay, and so but say we're lucky we've got the facilities to be able to do that.
Are there any qualities that you would say that people need to have in order to volunteer,
or I can anyone you do just it? Need to I think anybody can do it. They need to be able to listen and to understand that things are private, that it's, you know, it's not something you can, you know, you can't go and broadcast. You can't go onto Twitter and say, my duty last night, I had such and such a call, and that, you know, that's not on.
Has that ever happened?
happened and you've had to tell people
not that I'm
off,
aware or... of, no. I think in the past people didn't own up to being Samaritans, and there are still people now
really?
Who don't. Look, it was very, very sort of, you know, because it is so anonymous, you didn't tell people. And in the past, I do. I'm not worried about that. But in the past, the calls and things were much more local, so you were more likely to have local calls. So I think people didn't tell people in case they suddenly discovered they were talking to the person next door or something like that. But these days, because technology is so amazing, in my branch, I can be talking to people in Scotland, and then the next call might be somebody in Devon, and I might have a call from somebody in Ireland, you know, or Wales. Yeah. And it could come from anywhere. The way the system works is it looks at all the volunteers who are logged on, and it sends the call to the person that's been waiting the nanosecond longest. So, so yes, the phones do ring constantly.
Wow. Well, thank you for doing such a lovely thing in the world. So
it's just talking to people.
No, I know, but it's hard. No one's going to phone with a nice story.
Oh, they do sometimes.
Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, really?
Yes, we do get people who say, I know that you're not the person I spoke to, but I spoke to somebody last week and it really, really helped me. So we do, not huge numbers, but we do occasionally get that back. And it might be that they spoke to somebody in Scotland or Ireland or whatever.
Yeah.
But you get those calls from time to time where people say,
that's nice.
You know, thank you.
Yeah.
We still don't know what or who or where, but they do occasionally. But, so it is nice sometimes. And you do have the calls. The thing is, you come off a call and you go, that was a really good call, because when they came on, they might have been feeling really upset. And when they left, we actually laughed before they, you know, had a laugh before they left. So, you know, that's not every call, but the occasional calls like that. And it, you just think, yeah, that's worth it. Sorry.
So your job before, you worked for the library, didn't you?
Yes.
Do you feel like that prepared you? Did you get lots of people talking to you in the library?
It was quite difficult to start with, because in a library, I'm very much about helping people to find the right answer to things and, you know, giving them information. And with Samaritans, you don't do that. We don't give advice at any time. We don't say, oh, this is what you should do, because it's their life. It's not my life. It's their life. And they've got to do the thing that's right for them. So we do occasionally signpost to specific organisations if we're asked. But generally, so it was the complete reverse, because if somebody had come into the library and they would go, OK, I've got a dinghy. How do I get it? The puncture repaired, you go, right, well, you find out and you'll you need to get this and you can get that from there and you can do that. But the same with Samaritans, you don't do that.
Yeah. Shame.
But I loved working in libraries, I have to say.
How did you, was that your first job? Kind of, did you do that from
No,
work
when I left school, I was a hairdresser.
Yes. I did not know that.
Did you not know? Yes, I was a hairdresser. So,
Was that because you're from South London, aren't you?
Beckenham, excuse me, Beckenham, Kent.
Sorry,
excuse me. It used to be Kent. It's Lewisham now, but.
Sorry, you're from Kent.
Yeah, it shows how long ago, because Beckenham was Kent when I was doing it. It's not Kent anymore. But yes, I in all honesty, I left school because I was too frightened of taking exams. Looking back, I can see that. At the time, I was like, no, I want to be a hairstylist and I want to do my exams in that, which I did. I did my City and Guilds and everything. But looking back, I think I was just too frightened to take GCSEs and things.
Oh, wow.
So I did those later when the kids were little. I did evening classes in English and things like that. But
my mum did that. Yeah. She didn't do... I don't think she got her maths O-level. So I think she did that later on in life.
But say, at the time, it was like, no, I want to do this and I want to do it properly. So I did my apprenticeship and sitting guilds.
Oh, wow. So how long were you a hairdresser for?
Probably 5 or 6 years. I guess the training was about 3 years and a couple of years after that. All at one salon. But, and this is going to sound really, really snobbish, and I don't mean it. My friends will be sick of me hearing this, but I'd say when I started, it was a salon. And the lady that owned it was very, everything was just so, and you did things in the right way. We were trained to answer the phone. And I still remember that from then, is we would say the name of the hair, Gillian's hairstylist, how can I help you? She said, because people don't listen. When you first talk on the phone, they don't, you know, it takes a few seconds to get their mind to go, oh, they've answered the phone. So they don't hear that first bit. So never say anything important in the first bit. she did everything just so. And then when she retired, she sold it to a lovely family. But it was then you had the kids and the dogs running round the salon. So, you know, while you were trying to work, I mean, absolute health and safety now would have been. But at the time it was like no, this isn't right. So and I decided that I was going to move on. They were absolutely amazing. They bought me a car because they didn't want me to leave, because Chris and I got married and we got a flat in Streatham. So I was traveling from Streatham to Beckenham in the car, and the car was an old banger. And I had been telling my mum that we suspected they had paid for the MOT rather than having a real MOT. So it used to break down on at Crystal Palace. So I get to Crystal Palace, have to stop, refill everything with water and what have you, and then move on to... And I'd obviously been telling my mum this, because I was in the salon one day doing this lady's hair. Putting rollers in. So again, it shows how long ago it was. And my mum walked into the salon straight up to me and said, I'd rather you died than were maimed in an accident, and walked out. And this poor lady was like, oh, what? And then I made it worse by going, it's okay, it was my mum. She had obviously been walking to work, thinking about it, and got herself all wound up. And as she passed the salon, because she passed it on the way to work, she just marched. And I have inherited that, as I'm sure Pip will tell you. I do have a butterfly mind. I flit from here to there. And again, at work, funny enough, I was out with some friends yesterday. And one of them said, do you remember when we were at work and people would go, how do you know what she's talking about now? And she just went, sorry, I've known her a long time. We were talking about this about 3 days ago. And I just pick up and go, yes, it flits in my mind.
I'm a bit like that. So when you left there then, you didn't carry on with hairdressing?
No, I left there and I worked in benefit office in Tooting.
Oh, okay.
Which I went to sign on, and the lady, she said, do you fancy working here? And I went, oh, that sounds all right. So, so I went to work, civil service, and did a few years there. That was interesting. And then I... moved down to Stanford and I transferred to the Grays office.
How come you moved to
We couldn't Stanford. Afford to buy anything in London, quite honestly. And yeah. Chris's firm had a factory in Thundersley. So it was always felt that they might move the business down that way. So we yeah. thought, well, let's look that way and, you know, yeah. see how we go. And, yeah, we found a flat in Stanford that we could afford.
Yep.
So that's how we moved down here.
Yes. So you worked in the Grays office?
Yes.
Did you? Yep.
Yes. That was interesting because... When I first started, they went, you'll find some interesting characters. It was a doddle compared to Tooting.
Oh, really?
We were between two mental hospitals in Tooting. And the patients would very often wander into a house, just pick up a coat and then come in yeah. to sign on. And you'd be looking through trying to find this person and then you peer over and think, stripy trousers. Okay, and you'd go and ring and say, I think you might have lost a resident.
Well, I bet you didn't have any boring days there.
It was really interesting. It was. Yeah. I like meeting people and just met some really interesting people.
Yeah.
You know, just amazing. But I think the saddest thing, though, was where you would see somebody come in and sign on, and I'm sure it's very much the same now. And then over the weeks, as they come in and sign on, you see them getting more and more going down, getting depressed yeah. because they haven't got a job. You know, they've perhaps yeah. come out of a job that had been quite, that they had enjoyed, but they'd been made redundant or whatever. And then they couldn't find the sort of work they wanted. And that was really sad to see.
Yeah. I don't imagine it's a very happy place to work. It's just a mix of yeah. people who are genuinely, yes. yeah. you know, yeah. just down yeah. on their luck. And then people yeah. who are trying it on. And
quite a tough job. It was always quite interesting. And then I came to Grays. And then I had the boys, and I used to take them to the library. And I came out of the library one day, and the manager chased after me and said, "Do you fancy working here occasionally?" And we used to have what you call peak relief. I'd get a phone call saying, "Someone's gone sick, can you be down here in half an hour?" And I would cover then. I know there's a lot of controversy about zero-hour contracts, but for me and for the libraries, it worked really well because we didn't have this, you've got to wait by the phone. It was literally, can you come in? Great. If you can't, doesn't matter. You know, and we just move on to the next person. So that worked really well and it fitted in. And then... I guess at some point the manager said to me, "Why don't you apply for a manager of that job and or that library?" And I went, "Oh no, I couldn't do that." "Yeah, you could," she said. So I applied, and apparently they had advertised and nobody had applied.
Really?
So they reopened the post for me, and I got it. Just because they were so grateful that somebody had applied. So I started off as manager at Chadwell Library.
So
it's always had a soft spot for Chadwell Library, and then I just moved through the various iterations of library
did
work.
You enjoy it?
I loved it. I do think the last few years, and as things are now, it's much more of a battle because councils are having to find cuts everywhere.
Yes.
And they don't see, if they don't use libraries, they don't see the value. And, you know, I really feel that libraries always have come into their own when we have high unemployment. because people can't afford to buy books. They can't afford to buy computers, you know.
Yeah.
And libraries should be, they should be key to the community.
Yeah.
And having the you know, some of my library, I was talking to somebody the other day, and one of the libraries I used to manage was the three staff members have been there since the year dot were leaving, and this person was a customer, and she said, "Oh, my lovely ladies are going," and it is sad because I understand that in future that library will be staffed by another library, so it'll be different people going there each time depending on the timetables. And I think the value of having somebody who knows the community and who the community knows is often underestimated.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, they're such a lifeline for people, aren't they, for people, to help people who haven't got computer skills, whereas everything, you know, the whole benefit system's online now.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you haven't got a computer, and loads of stuff's online now. I can't remember the other day, because my friend Nicole, she struggles with doing stuff on, I think she's got ADHD, and she really struggles with doing online stuff. She's only on her phone, but she finds it really hard, and she's reasonably young and is used to using a phone. But if she was older and completely not used to any form of technology, it's like you need someone that
absolutely.
Can help.
Absolutely, and I think lots of people sort of went, oh, like, you don't need books anymore because everything's online. And it's like, actually, you know, there's room in the world for both, you know. I think people, kids quite often don't know how to research now in the same way. It is different, but library staff were there to say, actually, yes, you can look online to find this, but you can also look in this book or find that book, which will also give you that information. So there's room for both, and I just think it's a bit sad. But I bang on for hours about libraries, so.
It must
do you know you can get free books?
Well, my dad still goes to the library.
Yeah, yeah.
He still regularly uses the library.
I stand in the queue at the supermarket, and I want to say to people, why are you buying those really expensive magazines? You can get them for free from your library.
Yeah.
Online, you know, a digital version of it. You know, just...
Yeah.
But hey, I do restrain myself.
I did also want to talk to you about how it was for you when you became a single parent, because your kids were quite old.
Yeah.
Comparatively. Yes. Was Pip 16?
Yes, it must have been about that. And Ian was just about to go off to university, so I mean, we always sort of people are always quite amused because we've stayed quite good on quite good terms. You know, he comes around at Christmas if he's not doing anything, because we'd rather that, you know, don't want somebody sitting alone at Christmas. I think I said to, I might have mentioned before, I made myself a list of things I wanted to do, because, not because I wanted to do them, but because I felt I needed to know I could if I wanted to, if that makes sense. So it's things like going to the theatre by yourself, or even going to the cinema by yourself. You know, the first time I went to the cinema, I forgot I was by myself. It was in times when you sat next to people. And I went to go, oh, no, I don't know you. and an amazing time when David had some tickets for, I think it was David, gave me some tickets for a show in the Barbican, and he couldn't go. So I went, yeah, I'll go. And he'd given me two tickets, and the person that was going to come with me got held up and couldn't make it. So I went by myself, which was fine. except when I got there, I had my friend's seat was vacant and the seat next to me was vacant. Completely full theatre. And me sitting there like Billy Nomades. But it was all sort of about, well, I can do that if I want to. If there's something I want to see, I know that I can go and see that and not feel, you know, weird about it. When Ian was at Lampeter, he used to... He didn't stay in the university. He had accommodation on a farm, which was sort of like converted cow shed. Really lovely place. And he didn't want to lose it, so... He paid for it during the summer when he came home. So I said, well, you're coming back. I'll go up there for a week by myself. So that was my first holiday by myself. So I stayed in his place. And he had told the farmer who owned the property that I was coming. And I went up and had a cup of tea with them and, lovely. And I'd sort of like, right, I'm here in Wales by myself. I'm going to do lots of exciting things. So I think one day I thought, I'll go to Cardiff. And then I got lost and ended up in Aberystwyth. I went, I'll go to Aberystwyth. And I got on the train and went to some sort of cave. There was a waterfall or something. I got off this train and I'm looking. There were only a couple of other people on the train, and I thought, got to go through those woods to get to this waterfall. Shall I, shan't I? Yes, I marched down there, and I got to this bridge over a waterfall. Now, you could see through it. I'm not very good with heights. So I was standing there giving myself a talking to. Of course you can go over the bridge. Oh, it looks a bit rickety. I don't think I can. Of course you can. What's the point of coming all this way and not doing it? And then I thought, I hope they haven't got CCTV here, because they'll see this person going, you know, turning their head and talking to the not another soul around. So I went over the bridge. Then I came back and got on the train.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I can't remember. I just remember going back, giggling to myself, thinking, well, if anybody was watching me, that would have been... Because I was literally turning my shoulder to my head, talking to myself. And then another time while I was there, I went to a mine. Again, I was driving along and it said mine tours. And I thought, that'll be good. So I trot in and I pull up and I think... People giving me odd looks, but never mind. I paid, and most people were in wellies. There's me in a white cheesecloth skirt and sandals. And I sort of thought, perhaps not the right attire to go looking round a coal mine, but hey, it'll wash. And we went through this tour, which was really interesting. And then they said, well, the way out is you've got to climb up this ladder to get out of the mine. So I'm thinking, yes, ankle length cheesecloth skirt. So I pulled the back of the skirt through, tucked it in the front, climbed up and sort of jumped out and sort of let go of the skirt as if it was like, yes, I'm always like this. So, I did do a few silly things, but, I got through my week.
And how did it feel?
I felt quite proud of myself that I'd achieved these things. But then I also felt, well, how silly. Fancy thinking you couldn't do it anyway.
It's just the first time, is it? I remember the first time, because I used to go to cinema on my own quite a lot. Like, if there was a film that I wanted to see and no one else was up for it, I'd just go. And in some ways, because I like watching a film, like I went to the cinema with a very good friend of mine once. Halfway through the film, she got her phone out. And I was just like, my God, what the fuck are you doing? Like, so I want to enjoy the film.
Yeah.
That's quite nice. I'm fine with going on my own. I mean, obviously, it's nice to go with someone because it's nice to share the experience, but it's fine. Oh, sorry, my friend. Even though I've got my thing on Do Not Disturb, I'm still getting phone calls on my computer. the theatre, I've not gone on my own. And I've never been to dinner on my own. I mean, I've been out when I've been out and got something to eat, but I've not been like, I'm going to go to dinner tonight on my own. But then the thing is, my kids are young. So I'm not of an age yet where I haven't got anything to do.
You haven't got,
do you know what I mean?
I went to, I took myself off to one of these country house hotels for a weekend. And it was really nice. And it was in the New Forest, so I thought that was lovely. And I arrived and I had a bar meal, which was fine. Because you can have a bar meal by yourself and you can have a book and you can just disappear. That's fine. That's perfectly acceptable. And then they said, do you want to book dinner in our restaurant tomorrow evening? And I went, oh, no, 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 no. And then I did again. I went back to my room, gave myself a talking to and went back down and said, yes, I will book for dinner. It was a very nice restaurant, you know, with proper tablecloths and things.
Yep.
And not the sort of place I could take a book. So they were very nice. I had a nice table. The waiters and everything, the waitresses were very attentive. Oh, my God, you don't half eat a meal quick when you're by yourself. Yeah, three-course meal that you go out with friends and spend a whole evening eating.
Yeah.
I was over and done in about 30 minutes. And that was waiting for people to bring me. So that's what I learned, is that if I do go for a meal by myself, to actually take a bit more time over eating and you know, wait between courses. Otherwise, you're in and out. So.
But you can do it.
Yes, I can do it if I want to.
It's just the first time, isn't
it? Yeah, I think. Absolutely.
The initial...
And that's it. It's not that I want to do these things by myself. It's just that if the occasion arises, I can. I know that I can, and that's all that's...
So how long had you been single for before you joined the Spice Group?
Oh, Spice I can't Girls. Remember.
I always want to say that.
I guess probably a couple of years.
Yeah.
I tried some online dating, but I really didn't like that. I didn't like how it made me. It made me really... I'd be looking at and going, oh, what's he wearing a jumper like that for? Whereas normally I wouldn't dream of looking at people in that way. I'm very much about a person is the person, you know, personality. And
that's
things.
My issue and with it. You can't get a sense of someone's energy looking at the pictures, and you are so judgmental.
Absolutely.
And there's the amount of, because I'm very much, I very rarely think, oh yeah. Like most of the time I'm just like, no, no, for whatever reason. But I know that if I was with that person in real life, maybe, that, you know, I'd really like their energy, or they'd be different. Because also people look different in photos. Like I have met with someone before, and they looked so much better in real life than they did in their photos, you know, and vice versa. So, yeah, I don't like it. But it's what all the kids are doing. All my nieces, they're like in their early 20s, and that's how they... And they're at university, and they still meet people online. I'm like, you're at uni.
But you're going out. It's nothing beats actually meeting people and talking to them. And
but that's what they all do.
But that's what I like about Spice. You haven't got that pressure. It's not you're not going out to meet the one. You're going out and you're just meeting people. And they may be male, they may be female. You just have a really nice evening chatting to people or doing what event, walking,
whatever. I think it's brilliant. And I do, honestly, whenever I see your photos, you always look like you're having such a good time and doing so many different things as well.
Yeah.
It just looks brilliant.
As I say, that's what drew it to me originally, was because... There were so many things on there that I think, well, I've never even thought of doing that.
Yeah. Badger watching.
I know. It's just...
Where did you go for the badger watching?
I've no idea. I can't remember. I think it was somewhere the other side of Chelmsford. I'm not really sure.
Right.
Again, I'm not. My geography is rubbish.
Were you in like a little hut with night vision goggles?
Yes, we went into. We had these instructions. Don't wear perfume, and if you bring a snack, don't bring anything that crackles or goes when you open the can or the bottle. So I didn't take anything with me. I left it in the car because I thought I'm bound to open it and make a noise or something. So, and you did. You went into sort of like a little bird hut thing and you were just watching through. The thing that amazed me more than anything was how noisy it is in the forest, of an evening. And you're like, you go for a walk in the forest and you go, isn't this lovely and quiet? But actually, if you sit and listen, ever so noisy. I did see a badger. It did come out. Another lady in the group opened her bottle of Coke and the badger disappeared. But I saw the badger, which I was quite pleased about. So, and there was somebody there from one of the badger organisations who told us about them and things. But we saw lots of other animals as well. So it was good.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you so much for coming on to talk to me.
You're
it's
very
lovely
welcome.
Seeing you. And yeah. I'll post a link to the spice things if anyone's interested.
Yeah. Do. Let's say it's really worth looking at.
Oh, well, have a lovely time in Lapland. I can't wait to see the pictures for that.
So excited.
The huskies are massive, apparently. My friend worked as an elf. Actually, she got treated really badly. She left. They were really like really overworked, but she had pictures with the dogs and oh my god, they just look amazing.
Yeah. I have got my balaclava.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Hi. Yes, that was the lovely Jenny. Oh, I haven't seen her for ages. But yeah, she is inspirational. And it's just nice to know that there is life outside of the normal, what people think you should do with your life. Do you know what I mean? Like, as we spoke about, it doesn't matter. Well, if your marriage ends, it doesn't mean your life ends. Sometimes it can mean your life actually gets better. I think a lot of time it does, but yes. So I hope you enjoyed it. And I'll post links to the spice thing if you're interested in signing up. If there's anyone you would like to hear on the podcast, please let me know. Or any topics you'd like me to discuss. There's a new episode of the Epic Mum Chat out. Well, there's two new episodes, actually, because it was so long. We had to cut it in half, but this one's Chasing the Liar, about dealing with a partner or ex-partner who's lying to you and how you deal with how you respond to that, which is kind of the most important thing, really, because when you're driving yourself mad, the only one you're hurting is yourself. And sometimes it takes a very long time to realise that and let go. But yeah, that's it's a good chat because we both know what it's like to be in a situation where you don't think you're ever going to be able to get out of it, but actually you can. So yes, that's on YouTube. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking because I'm a bit waffly. I hope you're okay. Big love to you all. Stay safe and sane, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.